welcome back. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So we are officially in Cancer season as of today. So happy, happy birthday to all my Cancers out there. One of my Toronto besties is a Cancer. We would usually be together for his birthday, but the borders are still closed, so I can't be there just yet. But I love Cancers because they are that strong yet sensitive water sign, and they're associated with the Chariot in tarot. And we'll get more into the details of Cancer and the Chariot next week in our monthly overview, but definitely, you know, a strong energy on the horizon after our Mercurial Gemini month, filled with a lot of ups and downs as we, you know, tried to find balance and harmony this month. It is our last week of June, so it's our last week of June's cards, including the Lovers, ruled by Gemini. And this card is all about kind of unifying and harmony, the bringing together of two sides. And it's the card also of, you know, healing and healing within ourselves. So hopefully you had some time throughout June to tend to your inner self, as July will likely encourage a lot of us to extend that energy outward in a bigger way. And I know a lot of us have been doing, you know, work for justice, for you know, the revolution, for progress out in the world. But I do hope that there was some time to really go within and kind of balance that inner world. Because July, though it does have the sensitivity of Cancer and that kind of like homebodiness that Cancers are known for, there's also kind of that Chariot energy that's encouraging us to put out, to really, you know, speak our truths in ways and to really extend that effort out to the world. But like I said, we'll get to that in next week's episode. We're also in our last week of June's second card that we pulled from the January monthly overview, and that was the Seven of Wands reversed. And the reversal of this card, you know, indicates that for me, I was like, and I said this in the monthly overview, that I was like, it seems like the first part of the month may feel like a bit of a challenge, which, you know, we saw the beauty and, you know, the protests that we've seen so much like change and things being moved forward and corrected and improved as a result of the protest. But we also saw some violence and some disharmony. And so I you know, I had said, I'm like, I feel like the first part of June might feel like a challenge, but like the Seven of Wands reversed, we might start to question, oh my gosh, is there a light at the end of that tunnel? But yes, we're already starting to see that. And as I said, the solstice, which is today, is really that actual light, right? It's the point of the lightest day in the year. And we feel that. I think we all can kind of feel like we've achieved a lot in a short time in June. And so, you know, though the energy of Seven of Wands reverse can at times make us feel that the world is against us, and I know I'm sure many of you felt that in the month of June, it also really inspires an inner knowing that if we continue to hold strong to what we know is truly right, we will persevere. And I feel like we've already begun to see many of those efforts paying off, especially in the U.S., so before I bring our guest out, I'm so excited. It's literally the first guest in like forever, because I've been doing all these energy updates and it has been heavy energy throughout lockdown. And I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to bring on one of my faves and he is here. But before we bring him out, let's look at our card of the week. Okay, Queen of Swords. I think we had a Queen last week, right? We had Queen of Cups. We got all tons of Queens coming in, which is great. Gotta love them. They're powerful. So Queen of Swords. In the OG Smith Rider Waite deck, this Queen is sitting on her throne very stoically. And she has her sword raised up towards the sky, representing truth and clarity. And this Queen is kind of known for being like the hard queen. You know, she's said to be the embodiment of an older, wiser female. She's said to to be highly disciplined and intelligent. And, you know, because of that, historically, she's been known as like kind of the mean queen, coming off as stern and emotionless. But really, this is just because she's making judgment not on emotion alone. You know, she has that air element, the swords, the intellect. Queens are ruled by the element of water, so there is intuition up in the mix, but this is communicated by the Queen of Swords with the air energy, so it's kind of more direct and free of emotion in the delivery of the message. So in the Badass Bitches Tarot, when I was drawing this card, I was like, it's, you know, none other than Judge Judy, because like Judge Judy, this queen does not mince words. She can always be counted on to speak the truth with clarity and decisiveness. And there's kind of just like I'm not sorry for what I'm about to say and what I need to say, because it's the truth. And then I'm going to detach from it. I'm going to release it. And that's very Queen of Swords. And, you know, many of us throughout the month of June have been working to speak up for others. And it is so important that we've done that. And it's important to continue doing that. Even if that's if you're not seeing it for you personally every day, it's, you know, if it's not as big in social media or it's not, it's very important to continue to speak up on behalf of others. You know, in any privilege that we have to use to do so, we must continue that. But the Queen of Swords also reminds us to speak up for ourselves and to share our own personal truths in addition to that. And this can be hard too. And for some, it can be harder than speaking up for others. It can be harder to speak up for ourselves in a personal manner, because many of us carry that the witch wound, as it's called, from being persecuted for healing and speaking unpopular truths in past lifetimes that we've had. For me personally, I had that as a child, being bullied for being this little weirdo that didn't see or feel or experience the world as the people that did, you know, the way that people did in my small rural town. So I had that very real in this lifetime and probably many, many others as a healer. And so, yeah, this is a big one for me, and I'm sure for many of you that are all, you know, healers and intuitives and readers, and just magic workers that listen to this podcast. So I realize with this card, Queen of Swords, it can be challenging. And, you know, especially for those of us in this time that are seeing things differently from others, that are getting messages, you know, intuitively or guided that are kind of against popular opinion. And you can feel ostracized by default when everyone's shouting their opinion over something and you don't agree and you don't want to be disrespectful, but you're like, that's not my truth. Right. And so in that, the ways to channel the Queen of Swords, I find in that is just making sure that you question everything, right? Question everything and don't blindly follow anything that doesn't make sense or doesn't feel good to you in your heart, in your soul, in your being. And I believe more is going to come to light for all of us following today's summer solstice and eclipse well into the fall. And, you know, that being said, the most important thing is to really maintain your zero point, to go in within you and try to stay in the eye of that. So, yeah, I think it's perfect timing right after the summer solstice and the eclipse that, you know, we're channeling this Judge Judy energy, this Queen of Swords, this clarity. And of course, I think it's perfect timing that right after the summer solstice, we also have the most amazing ray of sunshine, renowned mystic, tarot reader, and the owner of Osset Gypsy, who I'm so excited to ask a million questions to, James Jacob Peary. Hey, James, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It is finally spring in full swing, and I really can't complain. How are you?
You know, I feel the same way. I was saying from the beginning of this whole situation that I felt really good about Gemini season, about June, and about the summer solstice. And back in March, people wanted to bitch slap me for that because they wanted to hear like, oh, it's going to be 2 weeks or it's going to be, you know, by the end of the month. And I was like, I'm feeling like there's some light around like June, around the solstice time. So I'm, now that we're finally approaching that, I'm feeling very optimistic as well. So I definitely am such a fan of your work, of everything you do. I have followed you virtually for a long time. I still haven't got to visit your shop, which
is in, it's in Easton, Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, historic downtown Easton, Pennsylvania. I'm right on the convergence of two rivers, the Delaware River and the Lehigh River. And it's just, I could really just swim across home to New Jersey. I'm really just literally right over the bridge. Like, you know, the river Styx over here. And yeah, the shop is in Easton. It's cute. I mean, it's a little quiet right now.
I know, I love all your photographs are always so beautiful on social media. So how long, you've had Offset Gypsy for a while, right?
Offset Gypsy has got to be going on its 500th year at this point. And good thing I got into essential oils in the 1880s, you know. The Offset Gypsy is nearly 27 years old now.
Oh my goodness. I didn't even. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you certainly don't age at all, because you look whatever you're selling in there, I need three of each. Yeah.
It's a little bit of rose water, it's a little bit of Foss, and it's a lot of bit of water. Drink a lot of water. Yeah, Offset Gypsy's been going a really long time. I've been doing what I do, whether it's tarot card readings or astrology or palmistry, long before Offset Gypsy was even a name, or as they call it now in the 21st century, a brand. And it was a nickname given to me when I was a young reader at Universal Studios when Islands of Adventure just opened. Now, most of your followers and subscribers and watchers and listeners would know it as The Wizarding World of Harry Potter. But once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away, it used to be called The Lost Continent. And we were one of the big features there. And we had this big, beautiful gypsy tent that looked like a genie bottle inside, and we were in these lavish costumes, and I just happened to be at the right place at the right time, was young, looked good in the costume, and my boss said, begrudgingly, I'm gonna hire you with a probation period. Well, anyway, from there, I went on to do all of the celebrity press that rolled through there, because it was such a big deal when the place opened. And what was a big deal about that venue was that it was the first fortune-telling venue to open up in over 50 years previous, when Disney had outlawed fortune-telling in his new theme park protocol handbook with the birth of Disneyland.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. So, you know, I knew that's where you started, but I didn't know that was like the point when it was then legal. That's so cool.
Yeah, and that wasn't even the beginning for me. That was the beginning of Offset Gypsy, because in order to get into that tent, I had to have been doing what I did. I really got my first public start professionally on the corners of Christopher Street and Hudson, when me and my friends, I think we were late teenagers, we got into New York City and we were going back to the Christopher Street PATH station, and they started putting police officers there, so we couldn't jump the turnstile anymore like we used to. And this was when New York was a funky place, you know, not like it's different now. And we didn't know what we were going to do, because we spent all of our money gallivanting around the village. So we went back up to the street, and my best friends, Brandy and Rachel, started screaming, he reads palms, he reads palms, he reads palms. We made enough money to get pizza in that pizza place that's still on the corner of Christopher and Hutt. But
they're open now, still in quarantine. They're still open. Yeah.
They have been open during everything, but they moved corners, because I think the other corner is a nail salon now, but that's where the pizza place used to be, because I used to go there as a little kid. And we made enough money to get a pizza, a couple of drinks, and get money to go back over the PATH train to get back home to Hoboken, because that's where I'm originally from. That's the first public start. But start-wise, in the family, my great-grandmother was a really famous fortune teller in Hoboken in her day, and the whole town loved her. And then when I moved to Orlando in my very early 20s, I just happened to get that gig. At first, the owner, she didn't want to hire me, because we were a third-party venue. It was at Universal Studios, but it wasn't Universal Studios who hired us. She didn't want to hire me because I was a young guy, and she didn't think people would believe me. She was looking for Esmeralda. You know, everybody's looking for Esmeralda. And she took a chance, and then I was the one that they chose for all the celebrity press publicity I got on all the TV shows. This was long before social media and the internet or smartphones or smart devices were even a twinkle in anyone's eye. And so it was like a lot of international press, like radio, magazines, newspapers, and national press and all that. And then from there, these major event agencies picked me up and sent me all over the world, and here I am.
My God, that's an incredible story. I love that. Like I said, I knew that you had, like, that was the start of Ossett Gypsy as the name you were given at that time, but I didn't realize that was when Disney started allowing that. So that's such a wow.
Oh, but it wasn't Disney, it was Universal. However, but I'm glad you said that, because Disney was one of my clients. They used to hire me, and well, I would get hired through an agency that Disney trusted, and we would do the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween. We worked at the Atlantic Boardwalk in this Gypsy Vardo. We worked the major celebrity events for them at the big resorts, and you know, the grad nights and things. It was really cool. But it was at Universal Studios at Mystics of the Seven Veils where a friend of mine, well, the manager, gave me the nickname Ossett Gypsy, because we had to start wearing name tags on our costumes, and I didn't want to wear it because mine would just be James and didn't sound as exotic as everybody else's names. So she came up with Ossett Gypsy, and I'm like, what is this? And she said, well, she's like, I was going to put Isis Gypsy, because Isis is my muse. She's my best friend. And she's like, but Isis is a girl's name. People recognize that as a girl's name. She's like, we know how much you love her. She's like, so I looked up some different spellings of her name and saw Ossett. And she's like, you're our in-house gypsy. So now you're Ossett Gypsy. And then friends of mine who had like a marketing business, they put together my first website. I didn't even know what a website was. And they created my first logo and then threw me out in the world. And now look, I've got t-shirts.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, thank you for that. I love that, because I obviously have a great love for Isis as well. And I feel there's so much of her energy in the world right now, especially. But that is so cool that that's another translation of her name. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's probably the like bastardized English version of the French pronunciation of the Latin or Greek pronunciation. Because nobody really knows how ancient Egyptian completely sounded.
Right.
But if we were to maybe guesstimate at it, most people agree that it would be Aste, Ast, or Asti, because the Greeks said Ise, and then the Romans said Isidi. So, you know, hey, she's the goddess of 10,000 names, you know.
I love it. That's so cool. So I wanted to ask you, because you do have such like a very rich background in both tarot and astrology. And one of the things that I know, like, that has been helping me and a lot of other readers and healers that I have, you know, spoken with throughout this time, is kind of the work that we've had with, you know, tarot and the knowledge of astrology. Because even we're in this period of this crazy, like, everything in retrograde right now. I was just talking about a couple weeks ago on the podcast of how, you know, it's Jupiter, Saturn, Venus, like all kind of hit at the same time.
And Mercury on the 18th of June.
Oh, right. Of course. And, you know, but it's almost knowing that there's a little bit of feeling less crazy, more aware of like, oh, okay, I'm feeling this, but I know I'm not alone in that feeling. Have you found that that's been helpful to you in this time? And was there anything that you were able to kind of see with clearer vision in advance as a result of your knowledge of astrology specifically?
Mm-hmm. With astrology, yeah, you know, because I do horoscope columns for like local newspapers out here, and you know, for some blogs and magazines every now and then when they ask. I mean, I used to do that like as just part of my living. So, but I'm always ahead of myself. So, yeah, I noticed when certain stars do go retrograde. I'm not one of those big believers that the retrograde is a four-letter word. I always try to calm everybody down and say, you know, don't give in to the hype. Retrograde doesn't mean it's all going to go backwards and the fabric of existence is going to tear. It's a moment where you get to go back to the back burner, where you put things on the shelf and go back to, and retrograde isn't going to be devastating for each one of those planets. You know, I know the public loves to go crazy over Mercury retrograde, but that's only 3 weeks. But Uranus has been retrograde for a long time. Nobody talks about that because it's more of a generational thing, or it's a more societal, universal retrograde. But with Saturn, Jupiter, Venus, Mercury about to go retrograde, Uranus, I think Mars was even retrograde until recently. It is almost a halting of the brakes for a moment. And now we look at this crazy time that we're living in right now, and it's not so much retrogrades. What got my attention about this was Uranus in Taurus. Because when Uranus went from being in Aries and into Taurus, I was teasing all my friends and family saying, you know, hey, Uranus is the, you know, the guiding star of Aquarius. I'm an Aquarius. And I'm like, you know, he's going to rip up tradition, right? Like he's going through the house of like marriages and work and all stability, and it's all going to be thrown upside down. And the thing I got worried about with that on the darker side was what weird diabolical plots are going to be released in the air. Because when Uranus or Mars is in a water sign or a fire sign, we see things on fire. We see tsunamis. This time around, I wondered what was going to be in the air. Well, I got my answer. I really wish I didn't see it, but I got it.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was, just throwing this into the mix, even with cards, months ago, back in December, clients of mine were coming, and all I kept seeing as a common thread in all of their readings, without breaking ethics and saying anything private, I did notice the trend that the month of May was just this devastating month for everybody. When the sun went through Taurus, I always associate that with May. I mean, I know the sun's in Gemini now, but it's the way my weird head works. And I couldn't figure out what. And then all of a sudden, the five of coins kept popping up constantly around it. I'm like, oh, I hope we're not headed for another recession. I wonder what's going to happen. Ah, boom. Here we are. But with the astrology, we have to keep in mind as well, too, that Saturn and Jupiter will retrograde again and then go direct by the end of December. But at the end of December, around the winter solstice and the winter holidays, Jupiter and Saturn are going to conjunct in Aquarius. That has me really interested. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to see what happens at that moment. I wasn't raised to be one of these astrologers. My aunt was an astrologer and she was the one who taught me. We weren't doom and gloom astrologers, but we certainly didn't subscribe all to the grand enlightenment and the constant cosmic consciousness. I never heard any of that until I got involved in New Age circles. We were a little bit more old-fashioned with our astrology. And I'm curious to see what happens at that moment, because that conjunction is a very powerful conjunction. And it's like the maker of kings. Like, things happen during that conjunction that are recorded in history. Mm-hmm. So the end of this year is going to be just as powerful as the beginning of this year. So it's a couple of jack-in-the-box surprises waiting for us.
Yeah, definitely. No, I feel the same way about that time period. And I'm an annoying optimist, so I'm really excited about that. And even throughout this period, I do think that a lot has been and will continue to be exposed in that time in a way that will shift things for the better. I do still believe that. But one of the things that, like, especially with more on the tarot side than astrology, that I've found helpful just personally in this time is kind of the surrendering to the unknown. Because I used to be such a control freak in my corporate career and fashion of, like, I would, you know, even when I would give massive presentations to hundreds of people, I was like, I was preparing the night before, I had rehearsed everything. And with tarot, there's no way to do that. It's literally just how the cards fall. And it's funny because going into this, you know, people keep overusing the word every single day of unprecedented times, and there's no way we could have prepared. And I keep to myself thinking that the only two things that slightly prepared me were working with tarot and ayahuasca. And both of those are very powerful tools that kind of help you to surrender to the unknown and just kind of go into it as it comes. Have you found that was, and you know, that has helped you throughout this time? Did you, as you said, there were a couple cards that were coming up even before this time period. Was there anything working with tarot leading up to this that kind of you've been like, thank you for that, you know, as a result?
Yeah, it was the little example I just gave a few moments ago, because for my clients, you know, like you just said, that was a great way of explaining that. You don't know where the cards are going to fall. You know, that person brings their story to the table. Each story is different. And, you know, even you can get the same exact cards for one client and then get the same exact cards for the next client, but it's a totally different story.
Yeah.
And I always view the tarot as like a stage, and all the characters are playing their parts. And they are the same kind of characters you'd find in any kind of story plot line, but they're going to be different in every plot line, you know? I mean, we tend to always love the farm boy, the princess, and the pirate. Now take that, and that translates to every Greek mythology, Star Wars, Harry Potter, you know, anything that people really gravitate towards, they recognize, they love that character. And so when I started seeing these trends occur with the Five of Coins and the Sun in Taurus being a disaster, then I started doing my own cards, and I haven't seen the Five of Coins for myself since about 4 or 5 years ago, when things were really, really bad for me personally. we all have those moments. I am not exempt. And I haven't seen them for a long time. Then all of a sudden they started popping up, but I didn't get scared. I was like, okay, this is a warning. Let me save my money. Let me just, let me not make big purchases. Let me really practice what I preach here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that I did, you know, because the funny thing is, people tend to think because we have our crystal balls and our astrology charts and our tarot cards that we are living the perfect life.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We're human beings. And of course, we get a little defiant and we get a little experimental and we go in a little bit of denial. I mean, I do, and live life.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I'm giving this advice to everybody else or making these suggestions for everybody else, I still experiment with it. So I'm glad that this time, this is why I think I've been luckier than most. And, you know, every day I do my meditations and I light my candles and I pray and meditate for the people who don't have it as lucky as I do.
Yeah.
Because I might just be a little bored where I am right now because I'm used to being a little bit more active. But there's a lot of people out there suffering and, you know, I wish there was more I could do for them. But even for the ones I don't know, I'll just light a candle every day and hope that light finds its way to their life and opens a door somehow to make it even just a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that is such a beautiful like act in and of itself, just by like doing everything that we can to kind of hold and raise our frequencies. I do believe that fully has a ripple effect to others energetically, even, you know, in those small acts. It's so interesting that you were getting Five of Pentacles, because I kept getting like Four of Swords before this, and it was kind of like, okay, like any like of that work that's remaining. And I also had this urge to just make my apartment like a sanctuary, like, okay, just make it really comfortable, make it really nice. And I'm the person who will always, I'm a Sagittarius, Aries rising,
right.
I'll always spend money on experiences and travel. I'm like, this IKEA thing is fine, you know. So like, that's like my extra money. I'm never one of those people that's like salivating at restoration hardware. And I started to be like, oh, I want this to be really, really zen and beautiful. And it's funny because just as this hit, I was like, oh, my apartment, like I'm actually really happy to be here. And I had been in that Four of Swords work of like really kind of filtering out the outside noise and outside distraction for a while so that it wasn't so shocking for someone who is such an extrovert and such a like Sag Aries. So I do think it's like we get those clues even in our own cards, and often for like when you keep seeing it in other people's too. Like there's a reason I keep recognizing that specifically, and like that message is coming out for me. I have a lot of people that like follow either my podcast or my social media, you probably do too, that have started to go more deeply into learning, whether it's tarot or astrology or palmistry, because they're like, okay, now I have the time and I've had the curiosity around it. And now I have time to like, you know, research, study, practice more, which I think is one of, you know, I think there are many benefits to this period. I think there's a lot of trauma and loss and destruction, but I do think that there's a lot of benefits in people taking that time for themselves in a way that they haven't been able to. Do you have any kind of tips or advice for people that are now really starting to go deeper into that, since you've been doing this like forever, way longer than me?
For 500 years. I also took advantage of that because the last year and a half, I've taken a lot of time to work with two different artists on two different tarot decks. And, well, I'll get to those more details in a moment. But I've been so wrapped up with working on the tarot deck projects and so wrapped up with working events and so wrapped up with my clients in the shop that you can't do everything. So the thing that suffered in my world was social media, doing more with, you know, these live videos and, you know, I would see everybody else doing it. I'm like, that's so cool. Why am I not doing it? And I would try to go do it and it would come out goofy or I'd feel all uncomfortable. And I was like, maybe this ain't for me. But then I found that in this time period where people couldn't come through my door, I'm always going to find a way to get over that mountain. So I ended up doing a whole entire Offset Gypsy Tarot Masterclass series, and a lot of people signed up. So you're absolutely right. This did give people the opportunity to be comfortable in their own home mm-hmm. and keep themselves occupied by doing something they always wanted to do but couldn't because of families and friends and obligations and work and money and bills. And, you know, now that people aren't eating out as much or, you know, not traveling so much, they're taking advantage of these magical devices. And I decided to do it too, and it's worked. And I thought it was fantastic. So for the people who are exploring it, I always say practice makes perfect. And you have all the time in the world to practice now, but don't burn yourself out either. Don't try to go above and beyond in a small period of time. And if they have the time right now to explore the arts of tarot, astrology, palmistry, divination in all its forms, their meditation, their spirituality, I'm one of those people too. I'm in that category because I finally got to sit down and reread a bunch of books that I just happened to be able to thumb through. And I have them all on my bookshelf for sale, but I never get a chance to read them. And so I finally was able to get back in touch with all of that. And I'll tell you, it's made me even a better reader. It's made me even feel more connected. So it just takes time. So when building that relationship with your cards specifically, take the time. It's a relationship. You can't just rush into it. You have to get to know each other. You know, each one of those cards is a different personality and character. It's like being in a party. Some people you can get in a circle and talk to all of them. Some people are a little bit more private and they need a little bit more quiet time. You need to build up trust. So just look at your cards like that. It is like having a group of friends come over. So you're not really alone if you have your cards out in front of you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think another thing is, I'm sure you're experiencing this. You're already like so highly psychic and intuitive, but I feel that all of us were having greater access to that realm in this time of just tapping into our intuition, being able to access it in different ways than we have before.
Yeah.
And in that, I always say that those of us who do read tarot or those who are learning now, it gives you, what is 78 times two? My math is not good today. 156 archetypes, right?
Out of the mind.
Yes, with the uprights and the reversals to work with, because when you're familiar, like you said, you now have all of those friends working with you. When you're familiar with those archetypes, even I often get psychic messages through cards. Like I'm like, right. For whatever reason, that card is popping up in a dream or around a person of like, that's the energy I'm getting, even if I'm not physically pulling them. So I think it's just another tool even further to work with, you know, guiding and enhancing our intuition in this time for sure.
Well, you know, you flattered me so much in the beginning of our conversation. I didn't get a chance to return the flattery. You are so good at what you do. Your whole polished image, your dedication. And I listen to your podcast show too. and the way you deliver confidently. And, you know, you're an amazing resource that is, you know, competent. Look, I've worked around a lot of people. Some aren't so competent. Some really are. And then there's a lot in the middle. You're quite competent. What your followers, subscribers, listeners, watchers, whatever they're called, they're lucky to have you as a resource because it's strong and you're flexible and you're pliable and you experiment and you explore. And it's like the people are going on the journey with you. And that's what I really like about how you do your work. You keep it alive. It's not just text in an old book. It's not dusty. It's alive. And, you know, that's what we have to do. We're responsible for keeping these things alive and moving and introducing them to the newbie who just discovered that. And the channels that opened up, there's a lot of questions about that. People get scared, they get excited, they get frustrated, they see too much, they see too little. And it's just, we're organic. So, you know, we always have to keep that in mind. We're organic, energy is organic. Sometimes it's gonna be like a waterfall, sometimes it's going to be a trickle. Mm-hmm. And it's just getting comfortable with making do with what you have at the moment, because that may just be exactly what you need.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. And I love that. I do think, and it's like you, when you were saying you're even, you know, like rereading books or like examining new things. I think that I always try to be constantly studying. And again, I'm Sagittarius Sun, so I love to be learning. I'm like, always listening. I'm, you know, following you, following other readers, following other, you know, astrologists, and learning different viewpoints, because we all read differently, you know, and I love hearing other people's perspectives on the cards. I learn more about them every day for that reason. So I think it is, and it keeps, like, you know, when we continue to learn and evolve, it keeps it alive for us and for the people that we're able to kind of expose those, you know, that knowledge to. One of the questions I always ask on the podcast, I have like so many for you, but one of that I always ask people is if you have a favorite and least favorite card, which I do want to know, but I also want to know if you have one specifically in this time. You know, we're now for many people moving somewhat, things are slightly opening, we're moving into that summer solstice energy. Do you have a card that you recommend for like the energies now for us to work with? And then do you have a favorite and a least favorite card?
Those are good questions, and they're fun ones, and I'm ready to answer. I'll start with the least, only because it's humorous. The pages. I have no use for the pages, and I'll explain why. When I was growing up and we were reading cards, we didn't use Rider-Waite tarot cards. We used old Italian playing cards.
Oh, wow.
Or the like Spanish style, Italian style. So they look like old-fashioned tarot cards, and that's why I love pre-Rider-Waite decks so much. And so the pages, some decks kind of had them, some didn't. It depend on which deck it was. They're used for different games, but they do look like tarot cards. There's coins, cups, wands, swords.
Yeah.
It's the pages. The pages I always describe are those little kids that were invited. They were the little kids who came along with their parents to the dinner party that on the invitation said no children for that exact reason. These are the kids that are going to sit under the table and scream like howler monkeys, chase your cat, break your stuff, and the parents aren't going to say anything or reprimand them and just ignore this is happening, and you want to scream. That's just the feeling I get. It's not all the time, but they're the ones that I when they pop up a lot in a reading, I get annoyed, because it means the energy around that person, the story they're delivering, something's a little premature. Something's a little irritable. So I have to explore to find out what that is, because that's just my feeling. I won't project that on the person in front of me, but it's part of the process for me. My favorite card, oh, that's tough. You know, it changes so much. You know, I love the Empress card. You know why my favorite card is the hardest one to answer now? And this is a little shameless self-promotion. Creating my own tarot deck, I had to fall in love with every single character. And there were some that I just really fell in love with, because it's different than just getting a new tarot deck and going, oh, I like that card. Oh, I like the art in that card. Now all of a sudden you're really intimate with them. You're creating them. You have to put every little touch into it. That people will understand, that you can contribute something different and different angle. You know, I do love the Moon card. I do love the Hermit. I'm not afraid of the Devil. Wake up, James. Here, my favorite card, and this is going to be so heavy metal and so macabre sounding, my favorite card is the Death card. And I'll tell you why. It's the reason why I buy a deck. If the death card is too gory, too heavy metal record cover looking,
yes,
I'm turned off. If the death card is too mamsy flamsy, if it's too too abstract, if it's too cheerful, that'll turn me off. It's got to be a perfect blend of romance. It's got to be like old romantic, like, you know, Chiron from Clash of the Titans, the original movie. It's got to be like, you know, the Mask of Red Death with Vincent Price. It's got to be the death card has got to be filled with life. I don't know how else to
explain. I love that.
That would be my favorite card. That's how I choose a deck. If I look at the cards and go, you know, this is too weak, I don't like that. Oh, this is too scary, and, you know, horrible things are happening, I don't want to look at that either.
Yeah.
But those would be it. My favorite card would be the Death card. My least favorite would be the Pages.
You know what? That's both of those points. It's funny. The Pages annoy me, and I could never really accurately verbalize why. And that was so perfectly stated. This is, I know, not a popular opinion, but like, I'm not a kid person, and they are. They're like the little kids of the deck, right? And I'm like, I'd rather get a knight. At least the teenagers are gonna get shit done a little more efficiently. I totally get that. And with the Death card, I always say I love that card too, because so many people that have no familiarity with tarot get very scared to see it.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to be, yeah, not too like overtly positive, that it was not staying true to like the transformation side of death. But I also didn't want it to be like so dark. I made mine in my deck, because it's all, you know, Badass Bitches Tarot, it's all these.
Yeah, decks. Yeah, it's great.
I made mine Louise Hay, but in kind of this like chic, like Grim Reaper outfit.
Yeah, no, I love it. I
love her, because she was all about just like, you know, it is just a stage, it's a transformation. And when she, even when Louise Hay passed away, her obituary said she transitioned. It didn't say she died of. It was like, I was like, that's pretty badass. I made
literally.
It. Yeah. So that's, I kind of feel the same way about that card. So those were amazing selections. So before I ask, I have more questions about your own deck that you created. Before I get to that, do you have a selection for like this time now for people to work with or embody, a card that you would be like, this is, you know, a really powerful tool to work with right now?
Let's see, the Hermit card. You know, yeah, I say it with jest, and I say it with a lot of seriousness. Because I think that's one of those cards that are very, a picture says 1,000 words. Well, you look at that card and kind of go, oh, you know, there's no maybe verbal words that go through your head when you see that. It's just a kind of, oh, or yeah, I know what that means. And a lot of people do when they see it. But that would be literally this moment. Like, what happens? It's not so much the reason why you're sent to your room. It's what you do in your room when you're there. That's the Hermit card. And it doesn't necessarily need to always be like a room, like a punishment. But what happens when you're solitary on your own? All of the things you discover. And it's the whole conversation we had. People have had the time to discover the things about themselves they didn't have time to do because life was moving a million miles a minute. So that Hermit card is that moment where you have the time to yourself to follow your own light as provided in that little lantern. And where will it lead you? But you had to be in solitude to discover that. Otherwise, you'd never have that moment because you're not going to have the opportunity. You're going to be distracted.
I love that card as well. And I've been getting that. And it's like, I laugh because almost every single reading I've done between March and now, that's a very primary placement in the spread. And I'm like, of course, like it doesn't take a psychic to tell you need to be in Hermit right now. But I do love that card because I think it's kind of encouraging, in your own energy, illuminating those things. Like when you were a kid and you felt like there was a monster in the closet, when you actually look, it's less scary when you get up and look at it. And I think so many of us, myself included, have, you know, in all of the busyness and all of the exterior distractions, it's like, I'm not going to look at that thing. I'm not going to deal with that thing. Or if it's something like we were saying, like, of course you wanted to take something you wanted to delve deeper into in a positive way, you would justify, I don't have time. I don't have money for that. And now it's getting really real with like, I kind of have to look at these things that I avoided, or now I have the time to really give myself the gift of more time and energy around this, that I made all the excuses as to why I couldn't go into that. So I love that card, and I've very much embraced that energy, even when it's like not always the fun part of it in this time. And I think I think it's great that we kind of have the time to do that. So when is your tarot deck? Let's talk about that. When is that officially coming out?
Oh, it drops spring of 2021.
Okay, because I knew it was, I was like, I didn't know if it was the end of this year. I knew it was on the way. Okay.
I think it'll be available for pre-order by the winter holidays. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a lot more publicity and promoting it very soon. It's coming, because I just got the word last week from the design team at the publishing company that they're working on the front cover, and they're going to have a lot of things to show me within the next 2 weeks. So that all of a sudden just thrilled me to a whole new level that I wasn't anticipating when I would get that news. But now all of a sudden I'm really excited. It was a process, and I I think when I first heard them say it was going to drop spring of 2021, I was like, oh, you know, because you're like a little kid when you create these yeah. things. You want to put it up on the refrigerator immediately for everyone to see.
Holy.
And so I was like, all right, all right. And you know what? Sometimes you just go with it and say, all right, fate, take over. And I was like, oh, good. Well, I'm happy it'll be 2021 and not 2020 spring because, well, this was a wild trip. But
So
it'll be out then. You know, it was a really interesting experience to create this deck because previous to making the deck, contemporaries like yourself and our leading authors who I'm friends with kept saying for a million years, James, when are you going to write your book? And I was like, I don't know. I'm like, you guys wrote everything already. What am I going to write? You didn't leave me any room. And they would laugh. They're like, do you have plenty to write about? I'm like, yeah. And so when the stars aligned properly and I got myself this tarot deal with the publishing company, lined up the artists, they just kind of found me. It was all perfect. It was the right time. And I realized as the process was going along, you know what? This is my book. I'm not a novel person. You know, I'm a living comic book character. I'm like, and that's what these decks are. These are going to be my autobiographies. I'm going to tell my story through tarot cards because that's what I do. I'm not an author. I'm a writer, but I'm not an author. I'm a tarot card reader. This book is, I always say, the only tarot book you need to learn tarot is the tarot. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that drives my tarot author friends crazy. I'm like, but I sell your book in my shop off the shelf all the time, so don't worry. But I say that because that was the book that taught me. I have a million books on tarot because I love to read, but yeah. It was the tarot itself that taught me its secrets. So my deck is my autobiography, a very colorful cartoon version of my autobiography, but it's really, that's going to be the fun part of going and touring and teaching it, is going to be able to tell the story that went behind it, because it's real.
I love that. No, I'm so excited. I can't wait to own one. And I will be posting lots of spreads, you know, using it as soon as I can get my hands on one. Congratulations. I know personally what a process that is. So like, that's huge and congratulations.
Oh, you would know. I mean, your tarot deck is incredible. You know, pop icons, historic icons, again, alive. It's not dusty. It's not old fashioned. It's relevant. It's very today. It's very of the moment. People relate to it. And it did what the tarot did back in the 14th century. It took the popular people of the moment and immortalized them as these characters. You know, the Visconti Sforza, these were either historical characters or actually members of the court's family. You know, they kind of immortalized them in these cards. And you did that for the people of our time that should be remembered. So, you know, your deck is going to be one of those decks long after we're gone that people are going to come across and find and go, wow, oh, this deck is so 21st century.
I love that. Thank you. That's the highest compliment because I'm such a pop culture whore that, like, if I can be one of those things that was very cliche, like 2010s, I would be like, yes, yeah. That's like the dream.
You did. You captured all the pop icons that we all love. There's not anyone who knows your deck and is familiar and has looked through it and seen it. They love every single one of those people. So you nailed it because it wasn't like, oh, look, here's one I like. It's all the ones everyone likes. So, you know, you did a wonderful contribution to the tarot tapestry. You know, you did what it did when it started out.
Thank you so much. It has been such an incredible pleasure talking to you. Every time that we speak, I feel like so elevated and inspired to just like up my game as a result of you. I have to say you're an incredible teacher and guide and like just a badass, you know, metaphysical practitioner in general, but I always feel just energized. You're like a lovely little spiritual organic Red Bull every time I talk to you.
Oh, shucks.
Thank you.
Well, hey, we get to pick this conversation up and turn the tables in a couple of weeks when you'll be on my Ask the Gypsy live at 7 p.m. Oh, I don't have the date in front of me. I don't have the calendar. Forgive me. I'm unprepared.
I know. Me either. I want to say June 4th, but I could be wrong. I'm very excited. Yeah.
I'm excited too. And, you know, so everybody listening, if this comes out before then, you know, come join us, join in the conversation, come and ask us questions and come and contribute your stories. And I can't wait to have you on there.
Me too.
Then we can see each other face to face and take the world by storm.
Other than, I'm going to obviously link back. I'll be promoting that. I'm going to link back to your website at Asa Gypsy on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Is there anywhere else that I should kind of direct people to find you?
From there, you know, the website, like once you get to the homepage of the AwsetGypsy.com website, all of the little social media icons are there. So people can choose if they want to check out the Instagram accounts, the YouTube accounts, the Facebook accounts and whatnot. My YouTube channel is probably, I know I shouldn't say this, it's probably the weakest of all the social media. I've really enjoyed Instagram above them.
I love your Instagram.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that I can be artistic there. It's a little bit more hands-on for me. But there's Asa Gypsy on Instagram. There's Ask the Gypsy, because before Ask the Gypsy turned into an Instagram live show, it was a little segment I did where people would ask me questions and I would answer it in the most outrageous way. So there's Ask the Gypsy. Those are really fun little clips. And I look forward to getting back to, like, you know, filmed, produced as well too. Most people ask, why is Ask the Gypsy live not on Ask the Gypsy then? And the simple answer is my Asa Gypsy page has more followers.
Nice.
So I will start putting the Ask the Gypsy lives on the Ask the Gypsy site. I know it sounds confusing. There's the IGTV as well too. And there's on Facebook, there's Ask the Gypsy Live, Asa Gypsy, and Asa Gypsy Metaphysical Emporium. Now, people might come across my personal page and it's closed. You're not missing anything. That's really just for family and seeing baby pictures of nephews and nieces. So don't feel rejected if you're not, if I don't accept you for that. You don't want to go there. It's a little boring. So go over to the other ones.
Okay, perfect. Well, I will link back to that. And thank you again so much. And I look forward to speaking with you on Ask the Gypsy Live in a couple weeks now.
I can't wait. I'm already counting the days and I can't wait for us to pick up where we left off, and we'll leave this as a little mystery to the audience, because you and I started some interesting brainstorming ideas before this whole pandemic unleashed itself, and I look forward to picking up on that and figuring out some play dates and delivering something out to the public together as well soon too. So we'll pick up where we left off with that, and then we'll get all that news out to the public as well.
Perfect.
How amazing is James? I could literally talk to him all day, which you probably noticed because this episode is longer than usual, but well worth it. And I'm sure also flew by for you. So before we head out, just a quick couple of announcements. I will be doing my Instagram lives every Monday, 7:30. So if you would like a free live mini reading, tune in 7:30 Eastern time. And I also post a countdown timer on @CardZB on Instagram so that you can get alerted for that as well. I'm also doing a lot more free online content. I've been working with modernsanctuary.com. There's a free intro to tarot class, a free tarot Q&A on modernsanctuary.com. I'll link to that in the notes as well. And I'm working with Happy House, an amazing charity that I'll be teaching tarot with them for free as well, that you can join. And obviously there are recommended donations, but if you can't afford that, we would love you to come anyway. If you can donate, there'll be more information about that coming this week. I know June's almost all over, but if you missed it, the June tarot scopes are now up on BCBG, and July will be up soon. So I love you all so much. Stay safe, and as always, stay magical AF.